This is Lenny Winnerstrom, Common Sense Health Expert, and welcome to the Wild and Free Healthy You podcast. Without your health, there isn't much joy in life. We talk about all facets of health, including lots of unconventional strategies, tools, and solutions from a holistic point of view. This podcast is all about inspiration, motivation, and expansion of your mind, your body, and your spirit, because your health is your number one asset. I want to make it easier for you to keep it that way. Now, on to the podcast. This podcast does not provide medical advice. The purpose is to promote consumer knowledge and information on various health topics. Always seek the advice of your qualified health practitioner. Welcome to the Wild and Free Healthy You podcast. Our guest today is Dr. Stephanie Seneff. You may know of Dr. Stephanie because from being on Patrick Gentempo's Vaccines Revealed and Ty Bollinger's The Truth About Cancer. She's pretty much everywhere on radio and everywhere, so she's a pretty amazing person. She is a senior research scientist at the MIT Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory. She received the BS degree in biophysics in 1968, the MS and EE degrees in electrical engineering in 1980, and the PhD degree in electrical engineering and computer science in 1985, all from MIT. Pretty amazing there. In recent years, Dr. Seneff has focused her research interests back towards biology. She is concentrating mainly on the relationship between nutrition and health. Since 2011, she has published over 24 papers in various medical and health-related journals on topics such as modern-day diseases like Alzheimer, autism, cardiovascular diseases, analysis and search of databases of drug side effects using NLP techniques, and the impact of nutritional deficiencies and environmental toxins on human health, mainly environmental toxins like glyphosate. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very, very excited about this, but I'm also, the more that I read about glyphosate, I'm also like, I try not to be spiritually, I try to rise above it, but it's a very earthly thing and we're very earthly here. And so
yeah, it's a catastrophe. I mean, I think it's an absolute catastrophe.
And Stephanie, you are the person who I consider, and almost everybody I know in the world that I surround myself in, you are known as the glyphosate expert for very good reason. And this is what you have focused on. For how many years have you focused on it?
Actually, only 5 years, which is surprising. A little, five and a half, going on five and a half now. But I've been completely obsessed with glyphosate over that period. I didn't even know the word before that, which is quite interesting. I'm embarrassed to admit. You know, I knew Roundup, of course, and I wasn't paying attention to Roundup because it's safe. You know, it's so safe that we don't worry about it, which is the problem, because it is by far the biggest contaminant in our environment. There's no question about it, in our food especially. And I think it's in the food where it's really causing a great deal of harm. And it's in the popular foods that the children eat very regularly, like Cheerios and Goldfish crackers and Oreo cookies, you know, these things that are very popular among children. They're getting poisoned and they're really getting in harm's way.
Okay, so you say that it's in cereals and everything. And so let's back up and let's explain why it's in cereal and why it's in the food. Where is it coming from and how is it getting into our food?
Right. So first of all, there's the GMO Roundup Ready crops. And this was really a great boon when they figured this out back in the late 1990s. They engineered these crops by inserting in a bacterial gene into their genome. And that gene was kind of like Superman. It protected them from glyphosate. Otherwise, glyphosate kills all plants. So something that kills all plants, it's kind of odd to think that it would be harmless to humans to begin with, because many of these herbicides are only kill certain plants, but glyphosate kills everything. And that's a hint, don't you think, that it might be dangerous to us?
Oh, yeah, and that is that the, what's the shiitake, what is the name
shikimate of shikimate pathway, shikimate pathway, and this is the argument that Monsanto uses, which is quite effective and very clear, unfortunately not true, but the idea is that because our cells don't possess the shikimate pathway, which is true, our cells are not sensitive to glyphosate, you know, because that's the pathway that it disrupts.
And what is that pathway? Is that what is that pathway that is important to the plant that kills the plant? What is it?
Yeah, it's a biological pathway, very, very important pathway to the plants and also to our gut microbes. And it produces aromatic amino acids. Those are building blocks of proteins. And they're also precursors to all kinds of biologically important molecules, such as the neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin, melatonin, melanin, the skin tanning agent, folate, the B vitamin, and other things as well, but thyroid hormone, all of those things come from that pathway. And we depend upon our gut microbes and our food supply to give us those aromatic amino acids that our own cells can't make because they don't have that pathway. So we depend upon getting them from our microbes in our gut or from our food. And the food, of course, is going to be deficient because of its exposure to glyphosate.
Right. So I just want to understand. So our gut microbes have the shikimate pathway. Mm-hmm. And so basically that doesn't fly because we do have this. Maybe our bodies don't have it,
our body does have it through the microbes. And in fact, our gut microbes, our microbes outnumber our own cells by a factor of 10. Yes. In a sense, we are really just a nest, you know, a home for these microbes. You could think of us as that's our real purpose in life, is just to provide a safe haven for these microbes. Of course, it's not safe anymore because we're being exposed to glyphosate, and they are getting completely disrupted. So what happens is that it kills beneficial bacteria in the gut, particularly bifidobacteria and lactobacillus, which are super, super important. Early in life, they have to settle in and get comfortable, and they chase out the pathogens. And that includes, of course, the yeast. So you get yeast overgrowth, you get Clostridia overgrowth, you get Drosophila vibrio. All these microbes that are causing trouble in the gut are flourishing because they're more resistant to glyphosate. The ones that are getting killed are the ones that are performing these useful services for us. So not only are we not getting those nutrients, we don't have those microbes, and therefore our gut is unhealthy as well. And we get inflammatory gut, we get leaky gut, lots of consequences there.
So if we go back then to the food, yes. I mean, so glyphosate is ubiquitous. You really can't get away from it because even if you're eating, I mean, I know you're a big proponent of organic, as am I, but even so, like, it's in our water, right? And so when you're watering and you're watering the plants, do the plants uptake the... Yes. They do.
It's in the rain. A test on the rainwater found it, and I think it was 86% of the rain samples. It's in the organic food because of that. They can't keep it out. They don't use it, but it's just everywhere. Yeah. It's in the soil. It stays in the soil for a very long time in some soils. Monsanto said that it only lasts for 2 weeks, which is a lie. In certain soils, it can last for years.
I know it's supposed to be sprayed on the plants, and then like in 2 weeks it goes away.
Yeah, and when we eat, it's supposed to go straight through our body. In 2 weeks, it's gone. It doesn't get metabolized. Yeah. That's not true either. And Monsanto knows it's not true because their own studies have shown it. And I wanted to go back to the food because I didn't quite finish that. The GMO Roundup Ready foods, corn, soy, canola, sugar beets, alfalfa, those are all GMO Roundup Ready. They use it to control the weeds. They can spray the crop all over the place. It won't die, but the crop soaks it up and gets into the food. But the other problem, which might be worse, is the crops that they're spraying with glyphosate just before the harvest. And that includes sugarcane and wheat and barley and oats and the legumes, you know, chickpeas and garbanzo beans. These are things that, like hummus, which are foods that I really like, but those are loaded with glyphosate. Cheerios, non-GMO Cheerios, comes from oats. People think I'm buying non-GMO, that's good, but it's bad because they're loaded with glyphosate. They found very high levels of glyphosate in legumes and Cheerios, you know, so you have to be very, very careful. Non-GMO is not good enough. It has to be organic. And even organic, you know, is not good enough. You're better off with organic from Europe or organic from Mexico rather than organic from the U.S. because the U.S. and Canada are the most contaminated countries in the world.
You know, this makes me, besides... I try not to get frightened, like I mentioned before we started recording, but I mean, because we are spiritual beings, you know, having a human experience, I believe, and but we are human, and this is affecting us, and there's so many people in the world, and just think in the United States, that they can't afford organic, and it's not that that's like a whole lot more expensive, but they can barely afford just the processed foods. And so like, it's our future. It's our children. It's the, I mean, their brains are being impacted. I mean, they're being blasted from so many areas. I mean, from the vaccines to the glyphosates, to fluoride in the water, and not to get off track, but I mean, it's just like, how do we even like attempt to, I mean, this is like really far-fetched, but it's like we just have to spread the word. And this is why I'm so grateful that you have made time to speak, you know, speak with me and with, you know, with my listeners and viewers and everybody around the world, all that you put out and all your time and efforts, because it's very difficult. This is we've gotten ourselves into a humongous mess.
I agree. I am absolutely terrified of the future. We have 1 in 36 autism now. It's been going up exponentially for the past 2 decades. My projections show 1 in 2 by 2032. That'll be 80% of the boys born will end up on the autism spectrum. It's an absolutely terrifying number. Oh, and the government just says, oh, we're diagnosing it more. It's not a problem. I mean, I don't understand how they can say that with a straight face. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It just totally baffles me as to what is going on. We live in a very, very strange time. And we're going to look back on this phase in history in absolute disbelief. We're just going to not understand. The future generations are not going to understand how we got to where we are today. They will be so baffled by our ignorance. In plain sight, we see everything that's going on and we deny it. It's incredible to me. Really incredible.
I know, it's like Alice in Wonderland. It's and everything is upside down and backwards, and you see the truth and you know the truth, but yet you see our leaders espousing like lies.
And exactly,
and it's backwards. It's like, you know, red is black, and you know, it's just,
it's crazy. 1984. I don't know if you've read that book, but it really is 1984, the book 1984. Oh, which was written in the 1950s. It's that's come so along funny. A little later than they expected, but here it is for sure, you know. Black is white. It's amazing.
And that was supposed to happen in 1984, but it's happening now, and it's going to be even worse, like, what, 2036, 2032, it's just getting...
It's going to be horrendous. I mean, at some point, people will get sick enough that they're going to say, hey, I got to figure out what's going on here. And people are. More and more people are waking up every day. This is what I'm trying to do, is to wake them up. The best any individual listening to this can do is to go organic and to tell all your friends and your family to go organic. Buy organic food, because that will pressure the farmers to switch to organic, and they will thank you for that because it will keep them safe. There's a brand new paper out, by the way, from Argentina. I'm so glad to see that paper. I've been aware for some time now that the little villages in Argentina that are surrounded by the GMO Roundup Ready soy, mm-hmm. the people there are getting really sick, a lot of cancer. They've got a lot of miscarriages. They've got a lot of defects, birth defects, lots of stuff happening. And there's rumors, you know, that glyphosate is causing it, but this paper really nails it, because they looked at all kinds. They measured arsenic. They measured all the other toxic chemicals that are used in agriculture, in the school playground, you know, around the town. High levels of glyphosate and nothing else. It really, glyphosate stood out as by far the biggest contaminant that they're exposed to. And then they showed statistically significant results that they're getting this very high miscarriage rate and very high deformities among the children that are being born, you know.
Well, and
they
the farmers,
can't blame anything but glyphosate for that. And this is why you could say glyphosate is not non-toxic to humans, which is what we're trying to believe.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
So now I heard your an interview you had with Patrick Timpone mm-hmm. on the radio network, and you were really going into mm-hmm. the Monsanto's research or study. And I played it and played it and really wanted to understand it. And I started getting it. Mm-hmm. And I'd like for you to explain it, because there's no way that I can explain it. But I mean, that the protein mm-hmm. that is sticking to our proteins inside of us or potentially, mm-hmm. right? Because it
yes,
did.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah. So would you explain that for the audience?
This is the thing that really keeps me awake at night, because Anthony told me 2 years ago in December.
This is your partner, correct?
Anthony Samsel, and he and I have written 6 papers mm-hmm. together. We're working on number 7 right now, which is a real challenge. We've got so much material. We're trying to figure out what to put in, what to take out. It's going to be rich, but we're taking our time with glyphosate 7. He's finding all kinds of new contamination in interesting places, I should say. Ugh. But that's going to come out eventually, I hope, if someone will publish it. But he said 2 years ago, December, he called me up. He said, you know, I think glyphosate is getting into proteins by mistake in place of glycine. And at first I said, oh, Anthony, get out. That can't be happening. That's just not possible. That was my first reaction. And that's a lot of people's first reaction, by the way. They say, no, it's impossible. It can't happen.
Can I ask you why, just trying to understand, isn't glycine like a, if I understand how you explained it, glycine is part of glyphosate?
Glycine is an amino acid. It's one of the coding amino acids, just like the aromatic amino acids that are disrupted by glyphosate. Those are also amino acids. There's about 20 amino acids that are coding. They're called coding amino acids, C-O-D-I-N-G. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've heard of the DNA code, mm-hmm. you know, the four-letter code. And three letters out of four in different sequences code for specific amino acids. So you have these sequences of A, G, C, T, and they go along and you read them off three at a time. And those three are like a name for glycine, right? So there's a, you know, GGC says glycine. So when you see that pattern in the DNA, okay, there's an enzyme that says, oh, I need glycine, and it'll grab a glycine molecule and put it there. Okay. And then it chains them like paper dolls together, all these amino acids.
Oh.
They get chained together like paper dolls. It's really cool, actually. The body makes all these proteins that have all these interesting things they can do that are really amazing. Enzymes and transporters and signaling receptors, all kinds of things.
Structural proteins. You're a little proteins. Above my head, but I'm going with you here.
Yeah, the proteins are really the workhorses of the body, mm-hmm. and they're coded for by the DNA, which is the code that makes us human.
Okay.
And then the proteins are assembled as beads on a string, all these amino acids. And glycine is a super, super important amino acid. It's the smallest one, doesn't have any side chains. It's very, very trim and very tiny. Okay. And glyphosate is a complete glycine molecule, a complete one, except it's missing one hydrogen atom. And instead of that hydrogen atom, it has something else there. It's called a methyl phosphonyl group that's attached to its nitrogen atom. So it's an augmented glycine, you could say. You know, it's sort of a glycine on steroids. And this thing that's added to it makes it very interesting. It causes a lot of interesting changes to the way it behaves. It has a negative charge. It has this phosphonate, you know, group, which is going to make it much more reactive. It has a lot of interesting effects that are caused by putting that thing on the nitrogen atom.
So it's hairy.
Yeah, yeah. It's really disruptive. It's very disruptive. And glycine turns out to be really important in molecules to help them fold properly. One of the things I'm seeing, there's a protein called amyloid precursor protein, APP, which goes into the membrane of neurons. It goes through the membrane. It's called a transmembrane protein. And it has a sequence of four glycines that are spaced apart very evenly with other things in between, mm-hmm. that are highly conserved in that molecule and that are essential for it to form it forms a spiral. It shapes like a spiral and it's sort of like a screw that can go into the membrane, you could say.
Yes.
And that all works out because of those glycines.
Yes.
If you swap out for those glycines something that's bulkier and negatively charged, it won't do that anymore. It'll totally mess it up. And instead it goes out on a straight line. It pulls the coil out and make it straight.
Yes.
And then it allows water to gain access and it becomes water soluble. And it hangs out in the actual interior of the cell, sort of dissolved in water, you could say. And that's the toxic form of amyloid beta that causes Alzheimer's disease.
So basically those two glycine molecules that are kind of balancing, what is it balancing in between or keeping together? What is it holding in? What do you call it?
What happens is there's a coil. Right. In this particular situation of this right. one protein,
right.
there's a coil and the glycines hook up and attach sort of like putting the buttons on
right.
to hold it together.
Yeah.
And so when you start throwing extra junk in there, the buttons won't fit anymore and so
right.
it's pulled out. And it won't go into the membrane. And
like puzzle pieces. So they no longer fits.
No, it no longer fits. It holds it securely in place in the way it wants to be with that coil.
Yeah.
And if you swap out those glycines and put something else there, it won't do that anymore. It'll mess it up. And this is what glyphosate's doing, I think. It's getting into those proteins by mistake because when the DNA code is looking for glycine, it finds glycine. Oh, here's a glycine. Let's put that in there. It doesn't notice there's some extra stuff there. It ignores it. And then it ends up in the actual protein. And that caused this protein to misbehave. And so what I've been doing is, since Anthony suggested that, I started looking for proteins that have essential glycine. So proteins, you know, are very careless when they're being made. Lots mm-hmm. of mistakes are made. DNA is much more careful when it copies itself to be okay. accurate.
Okay.
Proteins are kind of like sloppy. They're like sloppy workmen, you know. And they make they make a lot of mistakes. And usually, often, those mistakes are fine. They can even swap in glycine for alanine, for example. Just, make a mistake. That's all right. We'll just put glycine here. You know, they make these mistakes.
And alanine, this is what I didn't understand. What is alanine?
Alanine is another amino acid, and it's actually the next smallest one compared to glycine. It's the one that's closest to glycine.
Okay.
It has an extra methyl group. Glyphosate has the methyl phosphonyl group, which is a bulkier thing. But the glycine and alanine get confused with each other. You know, so it's just the whole machinery is quite errorful. In fact, there's various diseases that we know about that are often neurological diseases that are known to be caused by non-coding amino acid analogs, they're called. These are amino acids that are produced naturally by certain plants or microbes in order to fend off their enemies, you know. And so, for example, sugar beets can produce an amino acid called AZE. And I can't remember the long name for it, but AZE is its nickname.
Uh-huh.
And it's an amino acid analog of proline. Proline is another one of those 20 amino acids.
Okay, yes.
When it goes in instead of proline, it causes multiple sclerosis. So,
oh,
you know,
gosh.
This whole process is known to occur.
Okay.
It's naturally produced amino acid analogs.
Okay, so getting back to Monsanto's then the study, just to put it all together, because it's scientifically. So what they did with the proteins, like what they actually took out the proteins, right?
Or something. I'll tell you what they did. And let's see if people can understand. I know this science is a little bit tricky, but I'm trying to explain it at a level people can understand.
And you're doing a really good job.
Very interesting study that they did. And this was in 1989. I should say Anthony pestered the EPA to get these studies. Monsanto had a whole bunch of unpublished studies that they had done on glyphosate. And Anthony kept harassing the EPA through the Freedom of Information Act. And the EPA finally let him have this huge, huge stack of stuff. And he had to sign something that would say he would not show them to anybody, but he could talk about them. So we wrote about this 1989 study in one of our published papers. Really fascinating study and really quite remarkable in the respect to what's happening now, because it was bluegill sunfish that they were using as the animal model, bluegill sunfish. Mm-hmm. And they exposed them to radio-labeled glyphosate. So this is pretty cool what you can do. And people do this in these toxicology studies. You can substitute for one of the atoms. You can substitute a different form of that atom that actually emits a radioactive signal. It's kind of like uranium, right? But there is this carbon-14 that you can put in instead of the carbon atom.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That basically tags it. So they have this special...
Yeah, you can follow it.
Yeah, a special form of glyphosate that kind of lights up, you could say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they fed this to these sunfish. And then they looked in the tissues to see if there was any radio. So their question was, is glyphosate accumulating in the tissues? Now, they tell us it doesn't accumulate, right? That's what they say. It goes through 14 days, it's gone, all of it's gone. It's
right.
Not true, and they know it's not true because they found it in these tissues, in these sunfish. And they found this radio label. And then they said, okay, it is in the tissues. Let's see if it's still glyphosate, because maybe it got metabolized or something, right? Maybe it turned into something else.
Right.
Let's see if it's still glyphosate. So they tested for glyphosate. And what they're testing for is an individual isolated glyphosate molecule.
Mm-hmm.
If the glyphosate's tied up in something else, they won't see it. The method that's used to test it depends upon it being an independent molecule. This is important. So they tested it, and they only found up to 20% of the radio label. 80% of the radio label they could not see.
Can I ask, there's a bunch of noise going on behind you or something.
Oh, I wonder if I'm hitting something. Are we okay now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, let me not touch anything. Okay, so they tested for radio label. They found radio label in the tissues. They tested those same tissues for glyphosate. They found only 20% of the radio label. 80% of the radio label was unaccounted for. Are we clear right now?
Yes. No. So they didn't find, how many, they had 20%, 18%?
Yeah, 18 to 20% they found, and
80% missing.
80% missing, yeah. Right. So they're like, okay, what is this, right? So a good scientist wants to understand.
Exactly.
So they got the brilliant idea of adding digestive enzymes, basically. These are proteolysis enzymes. Proteinase K is what it's called. It's a well-known enzyme that you can use to break proteins apart. You know, you have those beads on a string. Mm-hmm. You break them apart into the individual beads, which is what you need to do in order to see the glyphosate.
Mm-hmm.
So they added this stuff, and they broke it apart, and then they tested again, and they got up to 70%, but still had 30% missing, but they got from 20 up to 70. So they recovered a lot more of the glyphosate.
There's still a lot missing.
Right. But so they recovered a lot more, and so they even said in the paper, they said that it was either binding to or it was quote-unquote incorporated into the protein. This is very important because they said they used that expression, incorporated into the protein, which can only mean what we're saying. Is that it's getting into proteins by mistake in place of glycine. So these are Monsanto researchers who said this, you know.
And
in 1989, This is many years ago.
Exactly. And this is what is what you were talking about in the brain when it gets glycine molecules. I mean, the glycine.
In the amyloid plaque, you're going to get Alzheimer's disease. And Alzheimer's is going up exactly like autism, exactly in step with the rise in glyphosate usage on core crops. It's all perfect match. Autism, Alzheimer's, and glyphosate usage on corn and soy are all perfect match when you look over time at the increases. All of them are going up exponentially. Alzheimer's is going to be a huge problem in the future, and so is autism. Both of them are just going to derail our society with a burden that we have in taking care of these people.
It's
going to be a mess. I mean, it already is, but it's going to be much worse. We're looking to a very grim future, I think. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
And the thing is, so there's still 30% missing. That's because it's stubborn. Once glyphosate's in the protein, it becomes difficult to break down. So it's still hanging around with extra peptide. It's a peptide. You know, it's still stuck to other amino acids. It's not totally separated. And we're seeing allergies to things. Like there's a proline, glycine, proline sequence that gets... that's in a collagen. Collagen is the protein that's the highest, 25% of the proteins in our body are collagen molecules. And collagen, 25% of the amino acids in collagen are glycine residues. So collagen has a tremendous opportunity to get glyphosate.
Oh my gosh.
Tremendous opportunity. Yeah. And that gives you, you know, all the joint pain, bone pain, skin disorders, because collagen is basically the tissue of your body, you know, the connective tissue.
Yeah, and if people are worried about anti-aging and all this kind of stuff, I mean, pay attention. Because, I mean...
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's just such a superficial part of it. But, I mean, beauty and health and all that stuff starts from the inside out. And if you've got... if you have this glyphosate going in and messing up the glycine, you know, taking over where the glycine molecules go, we're in trouble.
We are. And the collagen, of course, the collagen has a triple helix structure, very beautiful, that it creates, and it depends upon glycine every third residue. So it's glycine XY, glycine XY, glycine XY. The sequence has every third amino acid is a glycine in the portion of the collagen molecule that makes this triple helix that's so important for the for collagen's properties. Tensile strength, flexibility, ability to hold water, all of those things depend upon that triple helix that's going to get messed up if glyphosate goes in for those glycines. So we're going to have, and I think that's why we have an epidemic in opioid drug overdoses, because people are in such pain. They get back pain, you know, and shoulder pain and knee pain, all these different joint pain problems that people are having, I think is a large part of it is due to glyphosate getting into the collagen, I suspect.
You know,
it's a theory. It's a theory.
I think it's a good one, because you talked about the protease K. Is it...
Proteinase K, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, that isn't it. I mean, just getting, there's actually one on Amazon that I ordered. It is protease, and it really helps with arthritis and other things. It helps, obviously it breaks down the proteins, right? So
yes, in fact, we have a huge issue in our digestive system because of disruption of the digestive enzymes by glyphosate. And this is, Anthony and I have already written about this in one of our published papers. He just ordered from a lab, porcine, which is from pigs, trypsin, pepsin, and lipase. Trypsin and pepsin digest proteins and lipase digests fats. Mm-hmm. These are all produced by the pancreas. Right. And they're essential in the gut for breaking down your food to turn it into nutrients that you can use.
Right.
And all three of them tested for glyphosate contamination, high levels.
Oh, my gosh.
So when people order trypsin, if they're taking enzymes, digestive enzymes, which people are doing because their digestive system is not working, they're taking glyphosate when they do that.
Wow. Oh, my God. Now, that's not a blanket that all digestive enzymes have this, or that is a blanket statement.
I think all the digestive enzymes are being disrupted by glyphosate, and this is also why the proteins are not being digested, which is why we get these autoimmune diseases from antibody responses to undigested proteins. Things like celiac disease and gluten intolerance, casein intolerance, peanut allergy, all of these food allergies and all of these sensitivities to various proteins that are in foods are due to the fact that they're not getting broken down because the enzymes are broken by glyphosate.
So when I'm suggesting to my clients that they get digestive enzymes,
they should source them from grass fed beef. I mean, try to get extremely high quality. digestive enzymes. You have to really worry about your drugs. I think that nutrients, all of the nutritional supplements, I think many of them are probably contaminated with glyphosate. I don't know for sure because not much has been measured. I wish that the government would spend money and measure some of these things because I think you'd find it in all kinds of things. They have found it in tampons. I think you know that the South America did a study and found glyphosate in tampons, which is, so organic tampons is what you need and you can get those. You should, because you could end up with some serious reproductive system problems if you're exposing certain parts of your body to glyphosate. Well,
besides the BT toxin and in the cotton. And
that's right.
It's a super toxic world, and to navigate it, it's like you're walking on, you just need to be knowledgeable of like what to do, and going organic is almost always, I think maybe with the exception of, I was thinking about toilet paper, but it's almost always the best way to go.
Absolutely. And I think you have to afford it. I think even if you're poor, you really have to afford it, because if you start getting a child with autism or a parent with Alzheimer's, or if you become sick, it's going to cost you a lot more money than it costs for the organic food. And, I think there are growing your own food is really an option. And I think a lot of people need to think about that. If they've got a bit of backyard where they can plant some food, they should. Or if they can do something even in pots in the city, on the porch, on the deck, I think you really need to think about that.
And try to cover it too, because of
victory gardens, grow your own food, because the it's dangerous. The food is dangerous.
Yeah, I know. And we're ingesting that, and then we're breathing in the air and all of those things. Getting back to Monsanto's that study then, so they knew since 1989 about this, because you're finding it out now, and it's a theory. It's not, I've got that.
Yes, it's a theory, and of course there's enormous pushback. I am getting enormous pushback, which is interesting to me. It really makes me think I'm right, because they would ignore me. They wouldn't be so serious about trying to shut me down if they didn't know that. I believe that their thinking is, if this gets out, it's game over for glyphosate. So we cannot let this get out. I think that's their logic. And so they're going to just make sure everybody believes that it's not possible. That's what I think is happening.
And MIT is cool with you talking about this.
Amazingly, they haven't shut me down yet. I keep expecting someone. I look all over my shoulder all the time, but they've been really great. They have not stopped me. Good for them, right?
Oh, yeah.
They don't get funding from Monsanto, so that helps.
Oh, yeah.
They get a lot of funding from pharma. So, and Monsanto, I think, is somehow a subsidiary of pharma. So it's all connected together, the big chemical industry monster.
Yeah, if you haven't, I'm sure you've seen the movie Bot. In fact, were you in the movie?
In Bot? I think so. I can't even remember.
It's just a big circle. Okay, before we go into detoxifying, I want to talk about the diseases that we talked to, like diabetes, when we just touch on like all these things, like all the gastrointestinal, the digestive issues that we're having. I mean, just like rattle off these diseases that people are that are tied to glyphosate because of because of what it's doing in our gut health, to our microbes.
Right. I mean, the liver and the kidneys are hit hard by glyphosate. That's been shown in mouse studies very clearly. The sugarcane workers in Central America, I think, are being poisoned by glyphosate. Of course, they're spraying it before the harvest, and then when they harvest, they get harmed by the glyphosate that's in the cane.
And let's explain that. Let's explain what they're doing and why we're getting like in the food. Why? Because it's not just GMO Roundup.
Right. This is what is interesting. It's not just GMO. So non-GMO is not good enough. That's something people don't realize. They think if they're buying non-GMO, they're good, and that's not true. Yeah. Sugarcane is not a GMO food, they're increasingly using, and this is wheat too, of course. Wheat is being sprayed before the harvest, and that it's showing up in the wheat, in wheat products, which is why I think we have an epidemic in gluten intolerance.
And it's worse than Roundup Ready crops, because it's sprayed
right before harvest. It goes right into the seed.
So we're getting the direct shot of it.
Yeah, and the healthy breads are actually not healthy, because they have more glyphosate than the white bread. The wheat germ is where it goes. It ends up concentrated in the germ. So the whole wheat bread has more glyphosate than the white bread, which is ridiculous because that's the healthy bread, you know, it's going into the things that are healthy. And liver is actually a very healthy food, but it's so loaded with toxins that you can't eat it anymore. It has lots and lots of nutrients, gathers the toxins and glyphosate goes into the liver.
Unless grass-fed. Right.
Grass-fed beef. Yes. Yeah. And I like chicken livers, organic chicken livers. We can buy them in Boston and I like those a lot. Organic chicken livers, very healthy food.
And so can I just go kind of rattle off the list of these sprayed foods that are desiccated? Because I wrote a book in 2014 and I went over like these, I mean, it's oats, it's non-GMO canola, lentils, non-GMO soybeans, any dry beans, flax, peas. I mean, it's so wheat and sugar cane, you mentioned those things. I mean, when people go, they go for their garbanzo or
yes, I know
what you talked about, and you say you like hummus, and yeah. I mean garbanzo and chickpeas, same thing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, people need to understand that when they're changing their diet to go, you know, from okay, gluten is this big the big enemy, which I'm agreeing with you because you've mentioned it in several places. That it's like, is it really the wheat or is it the same? Yes. And I'm like on board with you. I think maybe the ancient wheat's a better way to go just because of what we've done with the
donut. It has been modified.
It's been modified, but not genetically. But well, I guess genetically, yes. But
no, I know what you're saying. It's not inserting a bacterial gene, but it's evolving the wheat into something different. Yeah, it's hard to sort out, you know. Yeah. Exactly what in the wheat is making it allergenic. I would guess that the glyphosate is by far the biggest factor. That would be my guess, especially if it's getting into proteins, because it's messing up the wheat by virtue of being integrated into the wheat protein.
And that's why I wanted to talk to you about that study from Monsanto study from 1989 and get it.
It's amazing, isn't it? I was so stunned when I saw that incorporated into the protein. They wrote that in 1989 and they say it's impossible. They say it can't happen.
They wrote it and now they're saying it can't happen. And,
it's a complete disconnect. It's like
at least your partner has the information.
Cognitive dissonance, you know.
It's Alice Wonderland. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So it's found in all of our foods then, because like even like people who beer, probably wine, because it's in the water. If it's especially a wheat beer, it's in cereals. It's in and we kind of talk pet food, cow's milk.
High levels in pet food. Anthony has tested it
in pet food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, we reported on that in one of our papers.
Because they just throw crap in there and they put the husks in there. Speaking of corn husks, have you heard this? I heard this from a farmer a long time ago, but not a long time ago. I from a farmer's market a couple of years ago, and I haven't been able to verify it. But he said that the corn husks from GMO corn they have to burn them because they don't biodegrade any longer.
Interesting. I did not know that, and that makes sense because if they're loaded up with glyphosate, they're going to be hard to break down.
Yeah,
that's very, very interesting. I should research that. I did not know that.
Then
you're telling me something new.
Something new, Stephanie?
Yeah, I didn't know that. But it totally makes sense. I mean, because I feel that glyphosate is making the proteins hard to break down. Plus, it's also disrupting the digestive enzyme. So you're getting it from both sides.
So this is why I really wanted to ask you about that. Because so then what is it doing to our proteins inside of us?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. So when it gets into our proteins, they become allergenic. They become monster versions of themselves. They misfold. And then the immune cells say, hey, what's this? This is not normal. And you develop antibodies to your own tissues. And that's how you get all these autoimmune diseases, which are totally an epidemic as well. We have so many issues. People are, you know, lupus and multiple sclerosis and even autism and Alzheimer's are really, I suspect, autoimmune diseases. You know, there's a immune system attacking your own proteins because they are messed up. They're not folding correctly. They're not being able to be broken down. And so you develop an antibody response. That's just normal physiology.
Well, now on that non-scary note, let's talk about how we can, besides just going organic, what else can people do to detoxify, besides avoiding how to detoxify our bodies the best way that we can? What are your suggestions?
Probiotics, you know, because your gut microbes are going to be disturbed and you need to get your gut straightened out. The very first thing to get back to good health is to straighten out your gut. And once your gut is healthy, then a lot of other things will follow. Your brain, you'll get rid of your brain fog and whatever, or your rheumatoid arthritis, all these other issues that you might have will start to disappear if you can fix up your gut. So that's crucial. And probiotics is one way. I like to eat a lot of probiotic foods. Apple cider vinegar, I highly recommend. Bragg's Organic is what we use. It's really super because it has acetobacter in it, and acetobacter is among the very few microbes that can actually fully metabolize glyphosate. There are very few microbes that know how to break that CP bond. That's an unusual bond in biology. That and acetobacter is one of the ones that can do it.
That was really exciting when I heard you say that. I was like, oh my gosh, like that is like, so it's, and I think you mentioned like have the salad dressing. And this, again, you said is a theory, but
yes,
but potentially like take your vinegar or your salad dressing. And is it a problem to be mixed with fat? The acetobacter?
No, not at all. And so we make our own salad dressing completely organic, and we use, healthy oils, organic oil, like olive oil and this apple cider vinegar. And then we actually put an egg yolk in there. We make a kind of a Caesar salad kind of dressing. And and we like to have this salad before dinners often as possible.
Get the
with romaine lettuce. It's very easy. I mean, my husband is a cook in my family, so I shouldn't say it's very easy, but he does a great
it's
job.
It's very easy for you.
Yes, it's great for me. And he makes a pot of bone broth. Almost every weekend, he makes a big pot of bone broth using either organic chicken bones, or he buys these big beef bones that you can get grass-fed beef. Mm-hmm. So healthy bones, put them in the water, add a little vinegar because that'll help to pull the nutrients out of the bones. Cook it on low heat for a long time, and then you can have that every day with dinner as well. So our dinners are often punctuated by the salad and the soup.
Does the acetobacter stay in the vinegar through cooking?
You don't cook it. The vinegar that you're cooking, I don't know what happens to the acetobacter. They may die, but the vinegar helps to bring out the nutrients from the bones.
No, I understand that. But I just thought, well, maybe it's still in the bone broth.
Right. That's another use for the vinegar. To pull it.
Yeah, that's really good. I wanted to ask you about sweating. Like our skin is our largest organ. And so, mm-hmm. so maybe infrared saunas and
exercise. I think so. I mean, I really like, I like to use Epsom salts in a very hot bath, sort of make it as hot as you can stand. So it's sort of like a hot spring, sulfur hot spring, which I do when I can. In Taiwan, I spend some time in Taiwan, and they have wonderful sulfur hot springs there, which I like. And there are some, I think, here in this country in select places. Those are great.
That's just being spoiled there, going to Taiwan.
And that would be a little hard to pull off for most people, but you can just throw some Epsom salts into the bath water, make it as hot as you can. I even boil water to add to the bath water. I do that pretty much every night. I don't put the sulfur in every night, but I make the really hot water because that's the sort of heat. Infrared heat is really good for helping your body to make sulfate, is what I believe.
Yes.
And sulfate, we haven't gotten into that, but sulfate is super, super important. And it's glyphosate is a train wreck for sulfate. And so we have a lot of problems with sulfate deficiency, which disrupts both the circulation of our blood and also our immune system. So both of them will get disrupted by insufficient sulfate. And I think many of the diseases that we're suffering from reflect body's attempt to produce sulfate and deliver it to the blood in order to rescue those really, really important aspects of our physiology, the immune system and the circulation. Those two are super, super important. Otherwise, we can't live.
Yeah, exactly.
So different organs will sacrifice themselves, including the brain. You know, you get Alzheimer's, the brain is really sacrificing itself for the sake of the body and freeing up a lot of sulfate because of that. So when the brain becomes sulfate deficient, it can't work properly as a brain. But meanwhile, you've supplied the sulfate to the blood so that it's still circulating and you're not dying.
So can we take, I take organic sulfur every single day, two times a day, a teaspoon, mm-hmm. about a teaspoon, maybe mm-hmm. sometimes more if I'm not feeling good. Do you have a source for that? That is, what do you just do Epsom salts and soak in that? Or do you?
I only do Epsom salts. However, my husband takes MSM every day. He takes a combo of, glucosamine sulfate, chondroitin sulfate, and MSM, methyl sulfonylmethane, all three.
Right.
And he takes that every day. I tend to be reluctant participant in supplements because I worry about glyphosate contamination. I worry about processing. I like to do everything from foods. So yeah. I'm a little bit more dragging behind on that. But my husband believes in supplements much more than I do. So he takes that every day.
And
he's been doing it for years, actually, and it's been fine. He hasn't had any issues with it. So I think it's probably a healthy thing to do.
The sulfur cycle, that is a critical, isn't that a critical part of like one of our pathways or something that is, I mean, I was reading something about it and it's just like one of the top four or five or something pathways for it, oxygenation, right? The circulatory system, just what you said, the blood. And, yeah. And so basically, is it a blood, also a blood purifier as well? And
sulfur is super important, and people don't realize that. It's not emphasized enough, I think, in health. It's sort of overlooked, partly because it's so common. People sort of think, they don't think of a deficiency of sulfate. Most people don't think that that's possible, even.
Or supposed to be common.
Well, it is very common, and it's some things that are so, like oxygen, it's so common that you don't think of it as possibly being deficient. But just because it's common doesn't mean it's, we have a lot of it. It doesn't mean we can't be deficient.
Because it's stripped from our soil. I mean, it's not even...
Yeah, absolutely. And glyphosate prevents it from going up into the plants. That's been shown by Don Huber, that the plants are deficient in sulfur when they're exposed to glyphosate. So it's deficient in our diet, and we're losing it from the soil. Yeah. But but sulfur is really interesting because that actually people believe it might have been the... preceded oxygen in life. In other words, the very earliest life forms could have been sulfur-based. And hemoglobin itself looks like that it was originally designed to carry sulfur, not oxygen. And then it got adapted to oxygen once the atmosphere became, oxygen became available in the atmosphere. So when you look back ancient, history, you go back to sulfur. And I think sulfur was really, more than oxygen, was what allowed life to start. So mm-hmm. in the beginning, you had sulfur-based life rather than oxygen-based. Sulfur is in the same column of the periodic table as oxygen. It's right below oxygen in the chemistry periodic table. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it has some of the properties of oxygen. But it has more than oxygen has because it actually can go to six different levels, oxidation levels. It can go from -2 to plus, -2 to +4, I guess it is. -2 to +4. Something like that. Sulfur has a lot of different oxidation states, which allows it to be interesting, used in interesting ways in chemical reactions. And I think the body actually has a cycle. And this is I'm surprised I haven't really seen this said specifically in any particular paper, but it makes tremendous sense to me that sulfur actually carries oxygen in the blood. It's a way to carry oxygen. So when you take hydrogen sulfide gas, that's just H2S. And you can oxidize it to sulfate, SO4 -2. So you've got the charge, and you've also got four oxygens. The sulfur atom is carrying four oxygens in a safe form. Mm-hmm. It's not very reactive. And so this is a way of transporting oxygen because oxygen is very reactive.
And okay.
Yeah, it can be unsafe. That's why you have hemoglobin in the red blood cells to capture the oxygen, to carry it, to deliver it.
Interesting.
It has to be carefully managed or else it can cause trouble. And you have a lot of the damage that you see, oxidative damage, you hear about oxidative damage.
Yes, yes,
inflammation. Rust. That's oxygen that's doing that. So you have to be very careful about oxygen. Sulfur allows you to transport oxygen in a safe way.
Oh my God.
And then,
that's really interesting.
And then the sulfur, the sulfate actually gets attached to the extracellular matrix, which is sort of the materials that are outside the cell. Mm-hmm. It gets attached there as sulfate. And if there's too little there, then lots of bad things happen. But that sulfate that's in the extracellular matrix can be chipped off and taken up by the cell along with nutrients and it pulls it into the lysosome. The lysosome is sort of the digestive system of the cell.
Okay.
And the lysosome uses that sulfate to make sulfuric acid, which is very acidic, just like hydrochloric acid in the stomach.
Okay,
it
yes.
It can help to break down. These molecules that you're importing that you want to turn into new things. You want to break them down into small components and then build them back up into new things, right? So the process that digests those things that the cell is ingesting mm-hmm. depends upon that sulfate that it grabbed from outside the door. It stores it outside the door and then it grabs it, brings it into the lysosome, makes the lysosome work properly, and then reduces that sulfate at the very end back to hydrogen sulfide gas which releases that oxygen and supplies that to the mitochondria to make energy. So the whole thing is really cool.
Oh, gosh.
This kind of sulfur cycle that allows you to transport oxygen, break down cellular debris, produce ATP, all those good things. Sulfur is intimately connected in all of that, I believe.
So people need to be soaking their feet or taking Epsom salt baths and or taking organic sulfur or something
yes.
like that. And because you're real familiar with the periodic chart and hopefully with fluoride as well, there's fluoride in our water with heat and other stuff. Is there a way to maybe minimize that as well, like maybe borax or something to minimize the effects of the
fluoride? Yeah, I would recommend just trying to avoid it. Certainly don't use fluoride-based toothpaste. That's one thing you can do. Lobby your local government.
People can't get away from it.
I know. Fluoride is bad. It's very reactive. And of course, it competes with chloride and iodide. You know.
I know. Our thyroids, I mean, it's like, it's
yes.
I mean, it's in all the, it's in, what do you call it? Fire retardants. I mean, it's everywhere.
It's in a lot of drugs too, you know.
Oh, I know.
I think including statin drugs. Some of the statin drugs have fluorine in them.
It's
crazy. And of course, putting it in the water is so insane. And that's a whole story in itself.
It's not even fluoride.
I know. It's this toxic form, which is a byproduct of the phosphate fertilizer industry.
Right, the fertilizer.
You know all of that, I guess.
And no.
And then they're like, the great solution is just to get poison everybody a little bit and hope that, and then pretend that it's good for them, right? That's the solution.
In a bunch of different areas, from our food to our water to our air to what's coming down from the sky. I mean, it's
amazing. The whole, you know, we need to get past this whole concept that chemistry is good for us, because it's not. I think the chemical industry really needs to be banned. The entire industry needs to be banned.
There needs to be some people like you overseeing it anyway, that are looking for people's health rather than profit, because that's
yes.
the problem. I did want to talk a little bit just about your friend's clothing, because it's also organic clothing, because it's in our clothing, and also because like polyesters and nylons and stuff, those have plastics in them, and when we wash them, those get into the water too. So I mean, it's like, I mean, and we're potentially breathing those things, and so to get back to Mother Nature and back to organic, you know, living the way we, you know, clothing, your friend has, so to, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, Human Revolution Clothing, which is a very tiny new startup, and she's trying to create the message that we need to think about organic clothing as well as organic food. And cotton, of course, is very toxic. It has, I always bought cotton clothing for my children, because that's natural, right?
Right.
But these days, kids have a lot of issues with eczema, you know, and I'm suspecting that it's the cotton itself that could be irritating their skin, because it's BT cotton, and they use a lot of toxic chemicals on the cotton. It's not subject to the same constraints that food crops are subject to, so they can use more of everything on cotton.
Yeah.
Even though it actually is a food crop, because they have cottonseed oil.
Right, yes.
Which is probably extremely toxic oil.
It's probably as bad as canola and soybean.
Yes, and so the cotton is, so organic cotton is something we need to think about, buying organic cotton clothing, particularly for the children, for the infants. And this is something that I'd like to get people to think about, to organic cotton as well as organic food.
Let me see if I have any last questions for you, because this has been super helpful. And it's also been, I just need to do my part to make people aware, and it's because the more of us that are out there, like your findings, the more of us that are out there, you know, sharing what you have found and your partner, the healthier we're all going, the more aware we're going to become, and the healthier we can become. And that's really what I'm trying to do.
It's so important. People need to understand that they have to almost pretend the food does not exist. Only the organic food. When they go shopping, if it doesn't say organic, don't buy it.
And get
from. You have to start thinking that way.
And start fermenting your own food, growing your own food, and fermenting meaning from organic stuff, because I don't know if you have glyphosate, if you ferment it, does it get worse?
Yeah. Well, I would imagine that if you're lucky, the fermenters are going to actually clear the glyphosate.
Because of the acetobacter, right?
Yes. And in fact, this is another thing my husband does, is he puts the organic vegetables with a little wine, and then he lets it sit and he turns it into, pickled vegetables.
Yeah.
And that's easy to do. I'm learning from him. He's great. I mean, he really pays attention, and he puts it right into action. You know, it's terrific. So
that's really good. Well, how can people get in contact with you or hear more about you, your website, and I'll put it underneath in the show notes. And
yes. Yeah. My website, it's very dry. It just doesn't look very exciting. It's very techy, but it has a lot of information on it.
It does.
Various papers that I've published and various slideshows and various interviews. So there's a lot of stuff there. And you can also just, if you can remember my last name, luckily it's quite rare, Senneff. Uh-huh. If you Google that, you can, YouTube it, you can find lots of interviews like this one and radio. I do a lot of podcasts.
Yes.
I've done slideshows that have been put up on the web. And so
you did
there's a lot of material.
You did one in Colorado Springs recently.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And I just did one in Hartford, Connecticut with Don Huber. It was really great.
Wow.
Don Huber and myself and Lauren Pang, who's a pediatrician in Hawaii, and he's very upset with what's happening in Hawaii with they're developing the new GMOs there, and they have a lot of toxic chemicals they're using, and the people who live there have no clue what they're being exposed to because everything's secret, and it's just really tragic. Kids are getting sick, and
it's such a beautiful place, and they're making it so
it's ugly. Just awful, because it is such a treasure, and we're ruining it, with this. It's just really sad.
I mean, in our everything, it's like everything that it's touching is just, it's so pervasive. It's just, it's everywhere.
We need to go back to sustainable organic agriculture, because there's the other problem is, of course, the soil is being destroyed by the glyphosate and by everything else. The whole chemical-based agriculture is destroying the soil, and the soil is so crucial. That's sort of, to the plants, that's like their gut, microbes and gut microbes are kind of the same thing. And all of it's being messed up, and it's huge consequences everywhere. And we're going to reach a point of desperation once the soil is so depleted and everybody's so sick. And the crops don't grow well because the soil is so sick. They become susceptible to fungus infection and things like that. So we're on a downward spiral. You have to think everything pro rather than anti. We think in terms of killing microbes, we need probiotics, not antibiotics. We need to think in terms of nourishing the microbes in the soil, in the gut, and bringing everything back to life. Humans can do that. We have the brain capacity to turn this around. We just have to get our hearts into it and to realize how important it is.
Yeah, we really do. So will you check back with me on if you find out anything on the on the
corn husks?
I've been like really trying to find out information. It's not readily available. I mean, for a couple of years, it's not like I want to get any GMO corn. I don't really eat corn. From the farmer's market, because it's organic and I know the farmer.
Yes.
And that burns. I tried it.
Oh, wow. You see the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. I don't know if you've seen that on the web.
Yes.
I think corn is one of the Clean 15, which of course is a lie. So they're not looking at glyphosate. So you have to be careful with that.
I agree.
It doesn't pay any attention to glyphosate. So
even like asparagus, they say you can just eat asparagus, and I don't know whether that's sprayed or not. I've never really, I've never checked, but I just prefer to go organic as often.
Absolutely.
Possible.
I think the safest thing is just to do everything by policy organic. That's certainly what we do when we shop.
Yeah.
So I hope everybody listening will heed that message.
Stephanie of MIT, most amazing woman that world renowned for research. Stay safe. Stay safe. I
thank you.
I always I'm always sending you warm thoughts of love and protection.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you for having me, and thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Stephanie. Have a great day.
Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Wild and Free Healthy You podcast. Hope you learned something new.
You can connect with me at LinnyMotivates.com. You can also sign up for my newsletter and podcast notifications.